Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
The voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the resistance against everything that has set itself against our heritage, against American values. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am proud to be your host. This, however, on this beautiful Saturday, is not live. This was pre-recorded Friday evening. Why? Because we, right now, are at the Self-Reliance Expo in Richland. And I want you guys to come down and listen, meet us, see us. If you're listening right now on especially 101.3 FM on KGDN out of the Tri-Cities, Walla Walla, Northeast Oregon. If you guys are close enough to make it to the Tri-Cities within driving distance or wherever you are, you want to make a road trip? Fine. Then we are waiting for you. We are at the Benton and Franklin Local Emergency Management Association First Annual Self-Reliance Expo. And the doors open at 9. It'll be going till 5, and that is at the Island View Worship Center on, get ready to write this down. Let me get you, get your pen and paper ready. You want to get this address. I'll give you a minute. But several things are going on, several vendors, food storage workshops, water and sanitation, ham radio, emergency communications. I'll be speaking on Ameron, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, and Disaster Communications, the colloidal silver, lots of stuff to help you become self-reliant patriots, and self-defense, just lots going on. Representative Matt Shea is on the docket to speak. I will be speaking toward the end of the day. From 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'll be closing it down. I'll be shutting it down. And really looking forward to that. I will be talking about disaster communications, the capabilities of emergency communications, the limitations, and your options, how to stay informed, how to network with others to inform others in a disaster situation. And some of you guys are actually rebroadcasting on your low-power FM transmitters using the Black Echo rebroadcasting program that we have with Ameron. Self-supported, self-funded, self-motivated operators out there who train and plan to rebroadcast information, kind of like running their own little miniature radio stations. Heard from several folks just in the last couple of weeks who've been doing that on a regular basis for quite a while. Pretty exciting. We'll be talking about that and more. We will have a booth set up, an Ameron table with several other Ameron core operators and Ameron operators to answer your questions, talk to you. And I'd love to shake your hand, meet you, look you in the eye, and just thank you for being out there. There will be security, and I will be armed. Okay, now, let me get that information to you guys. Are you ready to copy? Okay. It is at Island View Worship Center. Island View Worship Center. At, here's the address. 1520 Fowler Road. F-O-W-L-E-R. Fowler. So one more time. That's Island View Worship Center. 1520 Fowler Road in Richland, Washington. Richland, Washington. Easy to find. And so I want to thank the Benton and Franklin Local Emergency Management Association for putting this together. And, of course, the Island View Worship Center for hosting it, providing the venue. Great stuff. Great stuff going on. And next, let's see, on the first and second, we got an event I'll be talking about here in a little bit. I'm going to cover some of the news and commentary here, just, in the few minutes that I have. But what I'm going to do for you today, since several people have expressed a huge interest in the shows that I covered for constitutional attorney Chris Ann Hall. I sat in for her about a month ago, and I'm going to re-air one of the shows. I think it was the third segment that I did for her, talking about resistance versus rebellion and the Christian perspective on resistance. So that's what I'm going to be airing for you today. And even using her her soundtrack, bumper music, and all that stuff, just like how it sounded when I was doing the show for her. That was a lot of fun. And we did, I think, five days we covered for her. And that was a heavy load, but a lot of fun, very rewarding. I want to share that with you. And a lot of folks have really expressed an interest in hearing that again. Of course, we'll upload this to our Highlights and Resources posting and the Podbean player, where you can download all of our previous shows and listen to those. But first, let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. There's another great resource for self-reliance, preparedness, not out of fear, but out of a sense of responsibility and duty. And discernment, discerning the times that we're living in. You can go to 299days.com to learn more about that 10-book series, including the audiobooks. International news. Of course, more stuff going on in Venezuela. Now the children are... Most of the people, they're eating out of dumps. And I know that's a third-world issue, but things just continue to deteriorate for them. But we've got our own issues here in our own country, and this falls under international news because it was the speech that Obama gave at the UN General Assembly. If you've not listened to that, I think it's very important that you force yourself to endure that speech, because this is straight up communist-influenced globalism, everything in his speech. I sat there. I was almost nauseous. I sat there listening and watching, I had to just look away and just listen. Because it is so deceptive. Pure lies. And except for the outward projection of his and the people behind him, their intentions to destroy America and Americanism. And that's what we are and should be resisting. So I want to go over this. Constitution.com did a really good job. We'll post this. Several pundits have covered this, probably exhaustively. But I want to share this with you. He says, we have to put our money where our mouths are, and we can only realize the promise of this institution's founding, the UN, to replace the ravages of war with cooperation if powerful nations like my own accept constraints. What does that mean? Accept constraints. Sometimes I'm criticized in my own country for professing a belief in international norms and multilateral institutions. What that is globalism. What that is the erosion of the national sovereignty of the nations and all falling under one global governing body. Now, we were told this is coming, and things are accelerating. If you look in the book of Revelation, there will be a one world government. There will be a one world currency. There will be a one world religion. There will be a one world global system. So as Christians, obviously we're going to see it unfold. And that's what we're seeing. But that doesn't mean we accept it, because it is pure godlessness. So, remember, you know, I got frustrated this week, you know, thinking, oh, nobody cares, not enough people care. I go through this cycle like you guys do. And then I had to remind myself, my own words, preaching to myself. I had to revert back to my own preaching, if you will. And that is that this is not about the masses, the majority, or even a significant large body of people. We're talking about a remnant. That's what we are, the remnant, if you are a true believer. But he says, I'm convinced in the long run, giving up some freedom of action, not giving up our ability to protect ourselves or pursue our core interests, but binding ourselves to international rules. That means rules that supersede the Constitution. And we have to give up some freedom. But he says, but not give up our ability to protect ourselves. What he means is at the state level. He wants to maintain the state's ability to continue to build up arms while disarming the citizens. I really like what he had to say, you know, later. He says to call in this article at constitution.com, he says to call it the speech a paradoxical speech would be too kind. It was schizophrenic, full of blind idealism that ignored reality and the laws of physics. This speech, perhaps better than any before, perfectly epitomizes the foolishness, thoughtlessness, and sheer ignorance that is the Obama era of American politics. Amen to that. So I really do think you need to listen to that. Make yourself listen to that speech, the UN. You can go to constitution.com. They got it posted there, of course, with their commentary as well. In national news, money, CNN, George Soros' latest investment move, refugees. He is investing, he's claiming this week he's going to invest $500 million into companies and startups founded by migrants and refugees. Probably, you know, tax deferred and all the other perks and benefits that you and I as citizens don't enjoy, as well as businesses and initiatives that address the needs of refugees and their host communities. What are the needs of refugees and their host communities? I have a feeling that my definition, your definition, aren't going to match up with their definition of their needs. But he says, we will seek investments in a variety of sectors, among them emerging digital technology. Technology, why? Because technology, he said, can help people get access to government, legal, financial, and health services. That's what it is right there. Teach them to work the system and break us down. He's behind, and there's another article here I want to point you to. I'm going to run out of time here. At ZeroHedge.com, who is behind the riots? 70% of those arrested, the protesters who've been tearing Charlotte, North Carolina apart, 70% had out-of-state IDs. Are you surprised? You shouldn't be. Confirming what many suspected when viewing the sudden and intense collapse into anarchy that occurred in Charlotte this week, Todd Walter, spokesman of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Fraternal Order of Police, told CNN Aaron Burnett, this is not Charlotte that's here, the Charlotte. These are outside entities that are coming in and causing these problems. This is a communist-backed insurgency. It's got communism stamped all over it. And there's also a lot of strong speculation. Some are even saying evidence, which I'm prepared to examine, that Soros is behind it. Anyway, that's all I got for right now. I'm going to turn you over to this episode four for Chris Ann Hall when I sat in for her about a month ago talking about resistance versus rebellion from a Christian perspective.
I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has made his match.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. This is John Jacob Schmidt sitting in for Chris Ann Hall. Thank you for the invitation, and thank you all for allowing me the opportunity. This has been a blessing. Now, today I want to talk about righteous resistance versus unlawful rebellion. Liberty, resistance, and rebelliousness. I am John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too, if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. I have a weekly podcast at radiofreereadout.com. My email is johnjacob@radiofreereadout.com. We also have a weekly show every Saturday on the American Christian Network covering 9 or 10 stations across eastern Washington, northeast Oregon, and north Idaho in the American Redoubt. Now, our nation was founded by God-fearing men who resisted tyranny. Resisted. Thomas Jefferson said, "Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God." What did he mean by that? To apply some circular logic to that statement, can we reach the conclusion that refusing to resist tyranny is disobedience to God? Well, maybe not necessarily, but this is where that thing the Lord gave us comes into play. It's called discernment. We are called to be long-suffering. We are called to be meek. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? We are called to be peacemakers. But Paul said, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. As long as it is possible. But this is where discernment comes in. There are certain things that we are compelled not to comply with if we are going to hold true to our values, to our core beliefs, without compromising. There is a time and a season for everything. One example from our own American history, from pulpit preaching, is Reverend or Pastor Peter von Muhlenberg. Many of you have heard this story. He was known as the fighting parson of the American Revolution. As a pastor of a German English-speaking Episcopal church in Virginia, he received a circular letter from George Washington to the Protestant churches, requesting that regiments be raised for the Revolutionary Army. The following Sunday, Muhlenberg's sermon was taken from Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, ending with an appeal to his congregation. He said, "There is a time for war and a time for peace. There is a time to pray and a time to fight." Upon which he dramatically pulled open his clerical robes, the black robes, revealing the uniform of a colonel in the Continental Army. His parishioners readily enrolled in the army, Muhlenberg's regiment being complete. This great man of God served 8 years in the military service for the then fledgling country. I have the source for that, what I just read to you here. And there's another example. Pastor Wormbrand, Richard Wormbrand. Examples of resistance. Oh, you're not supposed to be resisting? That's just not very Christian. A lot of you have heard about Pastor Richard Wormbrand. He was imprisoned in the Soviet Union for running an underground church. That was illegal. He was breaking the law, and they resisted. When he was arrested, imprisoned, tortured, and interrogated, they resisted when their captors demanded admissions of guilt. They resisted when the authorities demanded the names of the underground church networks. Why, they were breaking the law of the land by refusing to cooperate with an official investigation. But they did resist. They even lied, saying, I don't know the names. I don't know the secret meeting locations. He wrote a book called Tortured for Christ. Amazing testimony. Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, during World War II, he started off as a pacifist. He believed that all government is ordained by God, and it wasn't a Christian's place to interfere, much less resist. But a switch came on inside of his mind, in his soul. He later became an active part of the underground to undermine the Hitler regime, and was even involved in the plotting of the assassination of Hitler. And he was killed for it. He wrote several books before he died, but one of his more famous quotes was this: "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. When there is evil taking place, if you don't act and you don't speak out against it, you are approving it. You're giving it the stamp of approval. Resistance and rebelliousness usually stem from perceived abuses or injustices, or at the very least, when something goes against the will of a person or a group, and the person or the group chooses either not to comply or to take passive or aggressive and even violent actions against the source or the agents of the source of the injustice. Especially where the victims of the injustice feel there's no other recourse or no other option for resolving the injustices. So there are some questions we need to ask, and more importantly, we need to answer. Is resistance ever justified? And if so, when is resistance righteous? Is there a difference between righteous resistance and rebellion? Well, I submit that there is. So we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about when rebellion is unlawful, when resistance is righteous. Now, my son he's good. He's a good son. He honors me. He's respectful. He's obedient. He's responsible, not perfect. And when he messes up, he's humble and remorseful, and he tries to do what pleases me. He tries to make things right. So when your 16-year-old asks to borrow the car, of course. In fact, I'll fill it up with gas for it. Here's a couple movie theater gift cards. Have fun. Here's the stipulations: no drinking, be home by midnight, lock the car when you leave it alone in the parking lot, keep your cell phone on you, and if I call, you better answer. But what if he becomes rebellious? He shows up at 1:30 in the morning with a dent in the car, red light camera ticket from a different town than he told me he was going to be in, shows up in the mailbox, and he gives me an attitude. You told me I could go take the car out tonight. I have my rights. I have my liberty. Well, rebellion against the source of that liberty is the surest way of having your liberty, your freedom, snatched away. What did the founding fathers credit as the source of American liberty? It's not the government. It's God and nature's God. He's the source of our liberty. If we rebel against him, well, we can expect to have the liberty snatched away. Now, conversely, if I tell my son he can use the car, but first I want him to wait outside the bank and keep the motor running so he can be ready to make our escape after I rob the bank, and he says no in defiance, is he rebelling against me? No. Actually, I'm the one rebelling. He's not rebelling out of a spirit of rebellion. It's righteous resistance. If he agrees to go along with it and be my getaway driver, he's not being obedient. He's actually rebelling against the higher authority. And what happens if a person within the government authorizes something which is unlawful? What if the government declares and enforces an edict coercing you into compliance with something that you know violates the higher authority? Oh, now we're getting into anti-government rhetoric. I knew it. You right-wingers are all anti-government. False. We are pro-government. I've explained this before, and I'm going to explain this here how I normally explain it. We are not anti-government, I assure you. The government is something that we want. We want in place for a reason. This is a constitutional republic. It was designed brilliantly for our good. The republic, if we can keep it. Well, sometimes we are challenged. And we are being challenged now. Our liberties, our republic, we are not anti-government at all. We're pro-government. We want our government to be under a higher authority.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want a secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food insecurity, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
If there is any hope of restoring America, we cannot, as a free people, allow ourselves to be divided. Division is what the destroyers of liberty are counting on, and if that means, as a last resort, preserving those American ideals within the boundaries of the American Redoubt, there must be unity among the patriots. We must all hang together. Or assuredly, we shall all hang separately. That's what Benjamin Franklin said, and that's what I say too. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Radio.
Free.
Readout.
She's Liberty's lobbyist.
And let me explain this, what I mean when I say that we are pro-government, but we're talking about resisting the government. This is another reason why it benefits us to hold to our Christian heritage and beliefs as the foundation for all that is lawful or unlawful. It is not subject to the whims of a culture, an easily deceived culture. That's what makes us inherently pro-government. I've heard members of the government and the media and even pastors use the Romans chapter 13 argument to bring Christians into submission to a leftist, globalist, godless, anti-American agenda. Romans chapter 13 says to obey the government, that the government is put there by God, and going against that is going against God. But that's disingenuous, because that's only part of the text. In fact, Hitler even used Romans chapter 13, not only to justify his actions as being ordained by God, but his regime pressured the clergy to use the scripture to convince their congregations that what the government was doing was righteous and that they were compelled to obey. And isn't it interesting that now the Department of Homeland Security has spent the last decade building up clergy response teams in America? And these clergy are briefed by the DHS to use Romans chapter 13 to keep their congregations in line. For example, when the government, in response to a major catastrophic event, declares that all firearms must be turned in. Keep in mind, this is the same agency that has declared right-wing extremists as being the number one national security threat in America. So, pardon me if I have some trust issues going on. Let's talk about this. Obey the government because it's put there by God, and resisting the government is going against God. You know, that's not the whole text. And since that's only part of the text, and especially when it's being used to persuade the audience to embrace an ideology, an agenda, that's what you call pretext. You need to give up your guns because this new law says so. And since the Bible says you have to obey the government, you have to submit. That's pretext, but it's out of context. You have to read the whole text to get the context. And they always seem to conveniently stop there, submit to government. The whole text also says why you are to submit to the government. Let me read this to you really quickly. Romans chapter 13. This is important. This is very important. You know, some people are like, oh, I'm an atheist, but I'm a patriot. I'll fight right alongside you guys. But, I appreciate that. But how could you not want? Let me just read this. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. That's right where they usually stop. They who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for it is a minister of God to you for good. You keying in on this? Why is the government there? It is there. You will have praise from them because they are a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. It is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on those who practice evil. Therefore, it's necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because you were also pay taxes, for rulers, servants are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. The rulers, you pay taxes because these rulers those in the government devote themselves to being servants of God. Render all to this due to them, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Do what is good, and you will have praise from them, for it is a minister of God for your good. But what happens when you are, when evil comes upon you, when they become evil, when they practice evil, when you are punished for doing good? We have an inversion.
This is Bruce DeLay with a Patriot Moment. You may have watched the recent Fox debate featuring GOP presidential hopefuls. No doubt it's enough to frustrate even the most pious Christian. But did you know that the Bible gives us the criteria, the qualifications to look for in a candidate, whether it's federal, state, or local? Moses chose leaders according to the words found in Exodus 18 and verse 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. That means someone who can do the job. Such as fear God, God-fearing people. Men of truth, that is, they won't lie. Hating covetousness, that means they can't be bribed. And place such over the people. Be sure to register to vote. Voting is the very least that we can do. And keep Exodus 18:21 handy as we approach election time. This is Bruce DeLay with Heartland Church in Tulsa, and this is your Patriot Moment.
Hardly a shot was fired. With ruthless propaganda and clever political intrigue, the Soviets captured control of five free governments and sealed off 70 million people behind an iron curtain. Communist propaganda, which left unchallenged, could speed up their goal of world domination. We are in the midst of a continuing struggle for the minds of men. Lenin put it this way: it does not matter if three quarters of mankind is destroyed. All that counts is that the last quarter is communist. Lenin spoke communist world domination.
If you're an amateur radio operator and you believe in the American Readout movement, contact us today to find out how you can join the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
If you are just joining us late, this is John Jacob Schmidt sitting in for Chris Ann Hall. And we've been talking about resistance, righteous resistance versus rebellion, and the proper context of, for those of us who are Christians, see, we must obey the government because they are ministers of good. They are there to uphold the righteous and punish evil. What happens when the government begins punishing those who are good and upholding the wicked? An avenger who brings wrath on one who practices evil. What happens when they are an avenger for the wicked, bringing wrath on the righteous? That's where we are. Now, this was brilliant. He's saying that the government is put there by God to do good, to uphold and reward the righteous. Anyone resisting authority faces condemnation from God. This was brilliant. It was a warning against anyone in violation of authority. Remember, he was being persecuted by the authorities at that time he was preaching. Is our own government not under a higher authority? Absolutely. The Constitution. And beyond that, the law of nature's and the laws of nature and nature's God. When the government goes against the higher authority, they aren't resisting. They are in rebellion. When the government collects your phone conversations and emails in violation of the Fourth Amendment, when they lack probable cause that you're involved in a crime, and when they don't have a warrant signed by a judge, they are in rebellion against the higher authority. When they excuse themselves from the higher authority, they are rebelling against it. So when you use encrypted phone calls and texts and encrypted email, you are resisting their unlawfulness. Now, eventually, they'll ban the use of any encryption that they don't have a backdoor access to. Although, they'll have encryption that the public will never have access to. And if you get caught hacking into their phones and emails, you go to prison. Exempting themselves from laws that they impose on the people. There's another grievance to add to the list. So, when they unlawfully ban encryption that they don't have a backdoor access to, so they can collect all your personal communications without a warrant, you resist. When you have something important to tell someone else, you meet them in person and leave your cell phone at home. That's resistance. That's what we call passive resistance. That's not rebellion. It is they who are in rebellion. Remember when, here is the problem. There is no fear of being in violation of the higher authority. They are so wicked. They are so rebelliousness, and they're so rebellious, and they're so arrogant. They do not fear violating the citizens' rights. This is interesting, too. When Paul was arrested, they were going to scourge him. They were going to whip him and rip the flesh off of his back to inquire to see if he's guilty or not. But see, you couldn't do that to a Roman citizen. At that time, citizenship was a powerful, powerful thing. You do not violate a citizen's rights. The Roman soldiers, not realizing that he was a Roman citizen, were getting ready to scourge Paul. And he said, I can't remember exactly what he said. Can you do this? I'll paraphrase. Can you scourge a Roman citizen without first having a trial? And they stop dead in their tracks. And they're like, you're a Roman citizen? He says, yeah, some people purchased their citizenship, but I was born a Roman citizen. These guys fell all over themselves, apologizing and trying to figure out how to get out of this because their heads were coming off. If it was discovered by the higher authorities that they had violated the rights of a citizen, that fear is gone today in our republic. They are in complete rebellion. Today, it's a matter of so what? That's the way, if you don't like it, well, then you can just, you can file a complaint. You can file a complaint with the complaint department. In North Idaho, there is a town that had a ordinance that you could not be in possession of a firearm within, I believe it was 500 feet from a parade route. So in the city where the city council had been taken over by liberals, well, they were confronted by a Second Amendment advocacy group. And they went to the city attorney. And they said, this law, this ordinance is unlawful. They redressed their grievances to the government. They showed them where they were in violation. They educated them on the law. They put them on notice that, A, you are in violation of the law, and then they educated them. Here is the law that you were in violation of. Well, the city attorney brought this forward to the city council. One of the senior city council members, his response was, well, nobody's complained. Wait, you're not getting this. I'm telling you, this ordinance is unconstitutional. He shrugs and says, well, nobody's complained. And he said, if somebody's got a problem with it, then they can take it to court. And then if the courts decide that they're correct, then we'll remove the ordinance. Here's the arrogance of some members of the government today. When they become aware that their edicts are unlawful, they shrug and say, sue me. If you win, then we'll remove it. Now, this is completely different than being unaware, because you can't expect every city councilman, they're not lawyers, they don't know the law, they should read the Constitution, and they took an oath to support not only the state, but the federal Constitution, specifically the state Constitution. And it's very clear. This is different than somebody saying, wow, I didn't know, we were thinking public safety. This is what you've just showed me and informed me. You've educated me. I was ignorant. We're going to remove this right now because this is unlawful. No, there was no remorse, no repentance. It was, that's the way it is. Nobody's complained. And even though I'm aware that this edict that we've put in place is unlawful, we are going to choose to be rebellious against the higher authority and leave it in place until we are forced by a court to remove it. That's rebellion. So what about the citizens who said defiantly, we are not going to recognize your edict, your ordinance? And they referred back to the 16th American jurisprudence, rightfully so. Any law that's unlawful and in violation of the Constitution is no law at all, as if it had never been written. And they said, we are going to continue to carry our firearms because that is an illegal, unlawful, and even rebellious ordinance. Well, you people are just rebellious, anti-government. They had the left was just all over them for this. But the citizens who refused to comply with this ordinance weren't the ones being rebellious. They were resisting. It was the city government that was rebellious. Isn't that something? Now, in our country, much like 240 years ago, we are going to be faced with some challenges. We are being confronted with intolerable actions. We're going to have to make some, you're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to comply and submit, or whether you're going to resist passively, and if caught, go to jail. Or at some point, I study history. I study the history of nations. I study internal conflict and civil wars, unrest, the rise and fall of nations. No republic has ever survived past the point of where we are, at the point of decadence that we've reached in our culture. What happens to every republic and every empire when it crumbles? It grieves me to say that we are a nation in decline. This is a republic in decline. And what has happened when every empire and every republic has collapsed in history, the results are always the same. Several smaller, independent, self-ruling nation states rise up from that. And the demographics of each region determines what those new smaller nations look like. Isn't that something to think about? Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying this so far. This is, if you're tuning in late, I was covering for Chris Ann Hall there about a month ago, and I just want to remind you of our sponsor. This next segment is sponsored by Riverfront Suites. Beautiful private suites that are located on the St. Joe River right outside of St. Mary's. If you need a place just to get away for the weekend, or if you need a place to hole up while you're looking for land or jobs while you're in the area getting ready to move into the American Redoubt, go to riverfrontsuites.com. And then finally, I wanted to remind you about the conference coming up, the Old Paths Christian History Conference. October 1st and 2nd. You don't want to miss it. And that goes back to Jeremiah 6:16. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Learn more by going to lordshipchurch.org. Over at Radio for Redoubt, I put together a project called The Underground Project. Now, this was prompted by a question from a listener that said, if the Chinese invaded and they said, all churches non-sanctioned or banned, your home group pastor, the home group leader, had a warrant out for his arrest, and the Chinese were going to arrest him. He decides to go underground. How would you go about doing that? Now, this ties into my past as a Department of Defense contractor. It's the stuff that I worked with. So I took this series. I was just responded in one show, and then it just became a series. So I took this Going Underground series, and then I also did a series on agents, informants, agents provocateur, and troublemakers. That's on there, the audio file, plus the white papers that go with those, and then secure anonymous computer internet tools, how to go underground and secure encrypted communications and stuff like that. Now, during the month of July, we are taking all of the proceeds from those sales, and we are donating them equally to two ministries. One is called RescueChristians.org. They smuggle Christians out of hostile areas, or they buy Christian women that have been forced into prostitution or slaves in one way or another. They'll buy them, or they'll smuggle them out. The other one is Voice of the Martyrs, Covert Operations. The reason why is because there are Christians that are underground right now. It's not just hypothetical. What I did was try to equip the American patriot for a potential future in America under the hypothetical scenario of what if the Chinese invaded and Christians started getting rounded up and you had to go underground. How would you do that? But there are people that are in the underground right now that are resisting their government, and some of them are just hiding underground. So we're supporting those. But there's two cases right here. There's one, just the RescueChristians.org just smuggled out a Christian in Somalia whose father was about ready to turn him over to the Sharia courts to be killed for converting as a Christian. He went underground. And there's another one in Pakistan right now, just this last week. There's a nationwide manhunt looking for this Pakistani Christian wanted for blasphemy because he was, insulting Islam because he was talking about Christ. So he went underground right now. Remember him in your prayers. His name is Nadim Masih. But they are resisting. Now, this is passive resistance, and you have to use discernment to know how to resist, to what level you're going to resist. Obviously, Christians rising up and fighting the Muslims off, like in southern Sudan, and eventually forming their own country, that's not an option for the very small handful of Christians in Somalia or Pakistan and many other places around the country. So we support those ministries because right now, patriots and or Christians or Christian patriots, people who love their country, but they also love the Lord, and the laws force these people to resist. That is righteous resistance, and it is happening today. These aren't history lessons. These are headlines where people right now, while you're sitting listening to this, there's somebody who is hiding underground all over the world in different places, in Iran, in Turkey, in China, Indonesia, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Egypt. There is a time to resist, and righteous resistance versus rebelliousness. Keep that in mind. God bless. This is John Jacob Schmidt.